The following text conversation took place. A mother sent this text to her daughter. Don't forget to unload the dishwasher. And then she waited for her daughter to respond and waited. So she sent another text. Did you finish your homework? And she waited. No response. She sent another text. We have to go to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Waited. Still no response from her daughter. So she sends another text. Dad and I talked. We're going to buy you a car next month. And the text came back from her daughter. You are? OMG, thank you. And mom responds, no, we're not. I just wanted to make sure you were getting my texts. And the daughter, that was cruel. We're continuing our study through the book of Proverbs today, and we're in chapter 13. And as I was studying and praying about how to present this chapter, the topics of parents and children bubbled up to the surface. So to mix things up a little in our study through this book, I want to look at the content of this chapter as it relates to parents and children. Now, some of you may be thinking that the topics of parents and children have little relevance for you personally. Perhaps you don't have any children, and maybe it's highly unlikely that you'll ever have children. I'd like to say first that we are all children, regardless of our age. You may be 70 years old and considered a long way from childhood now, but regardless of our physical age, we're all children with a heavenly Father. And the principles of being a good kid apply to us as much as to the third grader. We're all just big kids underneath this sophisticated outward appearance. I'd also like to say that parenting is something that we are all involved in on some level, whether we have children of our own or not. We're big brothers and sisters, we're mentors, we're grandparents, we're teachers, we're leaders of all shapes and sizes. And if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are a member of his family and involved in the spiritual upbringing of those younger than us in Christ too. So, we're all kids and we're all parents in some sense, making the truths of God's word about parents and children relevant to all of us. Well, let's flip to Proverbs chapter 13. And I want to begin with verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So I want to talk about the topic of parenting first. And the first thing that we notice in verse 24 is the point of diligence and perseverance. Effective parenting requires diligence, perseverance, courage, determination, an iron will to see it through to the end. Parenting done right is one of the most difficult and challenging tasks that we will ever take on. It will drive us to the breaking point. We will question our motives and our sanity. We will feel confused, overwhelmed, lost. We'll be accused of being unfair and selfish and cruel and downright evil by our own children. But we must not give up. We must stay the course. We must press on toward the goal. We must be diligent. We must not let that 2-year-old prevail over us, or the 10-year-old, or the 20-year-old. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Now, this is a very sound principle to follow in monetary investments, but it's also a sound principle when it comes to parenting. Parenting is an all-day, everyday commitment. And we need to remember the long-term goal that we're after rather than focus on the successes and the defeats of the moment. There are days as parents when we feel completely defeated. And we're certain that we have finally lost the war for the soul of our child to the influence of friends and culture. But don't give up. We need to take it one step at a time, one day at a time, sometimes 1 minute at a time. We need to continue to trust in the Lord and the work that He's doing in our life and the life of our children, transforming our characters, both of our characters, from the inside out. And one day we'll see the final outcome of His good work in both of us. Verse 24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Discipline. The old comedian Joey Adams said, "Smack your child every day." If you don't know why, he does. That's not what this proverb is advocating. Some parents in our day are reluctant to discipline their child, thinking it cruel. In point of fact, what is cruel is not disciplining your child and letting them grow up to be a menace to the rest of society. That's cruel. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it from him." The discipline that each child needs is going to be different. Giving one child the look will be enough to turn them back on course, while another child is going to need a little more convincing. The wise parent carefully studies the character of each of their children to know what works and doesn't work with each one. There was a popular notion in psychology a few decades ago that all behavior modification could be accomplished through reward, through positive reinforcement. No punishment was ever required and even thought to be counterproductive. Well, that notion has largely been debunked. Punishment is, in fact, an effective means of behavior modification. A combination of both reward and punishment are powerful tools for you to use as a parent. Which one to use in a given situation and how much is going to be something that you are going to have to experiment with. In spite of what some claim, parenting is not an exact science. If you find something that works well for you, then use it. But don't be surprised if that same thing doesn't work with your next child or with your friend's child. Every child is different. We're given very general principles in the scripture. The details are left for us to work out with each child. Verse 24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son." In other words, the parent who fails to discipline their child is being very unloving to that child and setting them up for a very difficult adult life. See, we have to do it. We have to discipline, like it or not. Our child's life depends on it. Now, the rod has taken a number of different forms over the years. Sometimes the rod has looked like a wooden spoon or a fly swatter or a ruler or a stick, a leather belt, a flip-flop, a mountain of very unpleasant chores, a week of no contact with friends, going to bed early, and the ultimate, having their cell phone taken away. Or 100 other things. A parent's imagination is the only limit as to what form the rod might take. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." I remember as a child thinking I was going to die a few times. But here I am. I made it. I survived. And your child will too. Use the rod when needed. Proverbs 23:14. If you strike him with the rod, you'll save his soul from Sheol or death. Discipline your child, you'll be saving his life. See, all joking aside for a moment, obviously we're not talking about any form of abuse here. But loving discipline administered by mom and dad is certainly needed and appropriate. Well, how do we do it? Our best example in parenting is our own Heavenly Father. And how does he parent us? He's firm, but he's fair. He has high expectations of us, but he's loving and generous. He wants us to reach for our best, but he's also quick to encourage and to help us when we need it. A good question for us to ask ourselves when disciplining our children is, are we disciplining our children to shape their hearts to love goodness, or are we just trying to get them to do what we want them to do so that our lives are easier? I like something that John Eldridge wrote. He says, children need two basic messages when they're growing up. You're loved more than you can possibly imagine, and you are not the center of the universe. Without the first, you're loved more than you can possibly imagine, a child will grow up insecure, uncertain, looking for love and finding it difficult to believe that he's worthy of being loved, even by God. Without the second, you're not the center of the universe. He'll grow up selfish, self-centered, assuming that everyone else's agenda bows to his own. The standard of behavior for both ourself and our child is always to be the example and the teaching of Jesus Christ. That's to be the rule of our home. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. The greatest inheritance that we can leave for our children and our children's children is a legacy of faith and a life lived serving the Lord. We as parents want to give our children a better life than we had. And the best life that we can give them is a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Mistakes will be made. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all figured out. We are going to make some painful mistakes as parents. All of us are finding our way through parenting from the first day that our child takes a breath of air to the day that one or the other of us draws our last breath of air. It's a learning experience all along the way. But know this. God has designed children to be very resilient. They are not easily broken. The Lord knew who was going to be parenting these children, and he designed them to withstand our good-intentioned bumbling. Being a good kid. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The importance of having a teachable attitude has been repeatedly stated for us in the book of Proverbs. If we're not humble enough to receive instruction and correction, then we're going to be what the Bible calls a fool all our life. This humble, teachable attitude is first developed in us as a child. If we're unwilling to submit to the authority of our parents, receiving instruction and correction from them, then we are setting ourselves up for a very difficult life as an adult. In my own experience, I have found that the people who are most often hard to work with have trouble getting along with others, have difficulty following instructions, have difficulty submitting to authority, are people who had trouble at home with their parents. They didn't honor and obey their parents, listening to their parents' instructions and submitting to their authority. And that deficiency is then carried with them into their adult life. Now, some people want to blame their parents for all of their difficulties now as adults. Your parents may have contributed to your problems, but you're an adult now, and you need to act like one. Quit making excuses. Take responsibility for your life. Children, not knowing any better, they think that all of this submitting to my parents and obeying them is just a temporary nuisance they have to put up with until they are an adult. And once they're an adult, they'll be the captain of their own ship, calling all of their own shots, having to listen to anyone anymore. But those of us who have spent a little time in the adult world, we know how untrue that is. The truth is that there are layers of authority over us. We have bosses with bosses with bosses with bosses with bosses. Taking orders from our parents is just the beginning of a life spent taking orders from others. And the ultimate authority over our life is always God Himself. We live a life under authority. Always. It's an essential life skill to submit and to live under authority. Parents teach that to their children. Proverbs 13:18, it says, "Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored." You might remember from back in our study of Proverbs chapter 1 that we learned that the foundation for building a life of wisdom is obeying our parents. Obeying our parents, it sets the tone for the rest of our life. How we get along with other people as adults. How we fit into a work environment. How we receive instruction and correction. How we obey the law. How we lead others. How we obey the Lord. There's tremendous blessing for us in being good kids. The book of Proverbs tells us over and over again that there is great blessing for the person who seeks to live a righteous life, and the person who lives a wicked, sinful life brings a whole lot of trouble on themselves. Verse 6, Proverbs 13 says, "Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked." And sin will indeed overthrow our life. While living a righteous life protects us from avoidable trouble. Verse 9, it says, "The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out." Light and lamp are used here as metaphors for a person's life. And the life of the one who pursues righteousness is a joyful life. It says, "The light of the righteous rejoices." I remember before I became a follower of Jesus that I thought living a righteous life sounded like the most boring, miserable, sad life imaginable. I thought, why would anyone want to be good on purpose? I thought all of my vices were the things that brought me joy in life. So why would I want to give any of that up? But when Christ touched my life and he brought me into this relationship with himself, I discovered that all of the stuff that I thought was making me happy had really been contributing to my misery. And that as this proverb so rightly says, living a life of obedience to the Lord actually brought joy into my life. Verse 21, "Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good. Disaster pursues sinners or chases after them or follows after them. It's common for the person who's living a life that is against the commandments of God to blame God for the trouble in their life. In their twisted logic, they think it's God's fault that disaster is following them. But the truth is, disaster follows as a natural consequence of our sinful behavior. We have no one to blame for the disaster pursuing us than ourselves. God's cursing me. Actually, he doesn't need to. We've cursed ourselves. We've overthrown our own life. Our own sinful behavior comes back upon us. See, that's the truth of what's being said here. And it is true about our lives. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that rather than leaving us to our own fate, God has entered into our world in the person of Jesus Christ to save us from ourselves. And why would he do that? Because he loves you. That's why. He loves you. Are you feeling like your self-made disaster is pursuing you? I want to encourage you to start following Jesus Christ, and you will discover the same thing that I did, that following Jesus is a joyful life, not a boring, sad life. And as it says at the second part of this proverb, the righteous are rewarded with good. God wants to bring good into our life. In closing this morning, Charles Bridges said, righteousness is steady conformity to God's mind. Righteousness is steady conformity to God's mind. We're in a long-distance race, not a sprint. We need to remember that truth, both as parents and as children. It makes me think of weeds and trees. See, weeds spring up quickly. They have a very impressive speed when it comes to growth. Just boom, they're there. But they soon dry up and blow away too. They have no lasting quality about them. A beautiful, majestic redwood, on the other hand, takes years of steady growth to attain its stature and its grace. Don't let your stumblings and apparent slow growth discourage you. You're a redwood, not a weed. Steadily pursue righteousness in your life. The Lord is with you. You're going to become what he desires you to be. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your determination to have your will accomplished in our life. What a blessing and reassurance it is to know that, Lord, that you are going to complete the good work you've started in us. And I want to pray this morning, especially, Lord, for the parents among us who are discouraged, frustrated. Their hope is waning, Lord. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Remind them, Lord, of your determination, both for them and for their children, that you've not given up. Help us to not give up either, Lord. God, we pray for those children who have gone astray and we don't know if they'll ever find their way back home. Find them, touch them, draw them to yourself, Lord. rescue them. You're the great rescuer of all people. And we trust and we depend on you, Lord. We cry out to you to rescue. Bless each of these precious people today in the name of Jesus. Amen.